My very special guest in today's episode is Emmy Sunshine. In the second hour, we're going to visit with Emmy, and she's going to perform for you in the middle of the conversation. Wonderful, wonderful performer, great talent. At the time of this airing, she will have just turned 15 years old. In the interview, you will learn that sometime in the year 2019, she'll release a new album. Emmy Sunshine is the voice, I believe, of what country music needs. Her songs have a tinge of mountain and bluegrass sound to them, just kind of part of her, but fantastic voice, wonderful conversation with her, joined by her father part of the way through. You'll find out why that happened. I am very happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass my first time meeting Emmy Sunshine.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I am so excited to get a chance to talk to you. I've heard your music. I've seen you for a while. And I know that you're now touring. You're on a pretty big tour that's going. Right now we're sitting in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go south from
yeah.
here. And it looks to me, I've looked at your website, which is if people just Google Emmy Sunshine, they're going to find what you're up to and where you're headed. You are busy, busy, busy night after night after night.
Yeah, this summer is going to be crazy. I'm pretty excited for it.
You and I have your last album, which is called Ragged Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in I think August 7th, 2017.
It did, yeah.
And right now we're and by the way, you're already getting airplay on Unreal Bluegrass.
Yeah, I mean. That's pretty crazy to me. I mean, I never really thought that album would do that, and I'm pretty proud of that. It's pretty cool.
It's a great album. I will tell you that in the show coming up, will come up in a week or so, but in the show coming up, which we talked before we sat down, features Molly Tuttle, a discussion here with Molly, I'm playing a Tennessee Killing song.
Yeah, Tennessee Killing song.
Yeah, and I don't know why that I picked that. There were so many great ones that I could. But that's the one that I dropped into the broadcast coming up soon. But you write these songs.
I do. Me and my mother.
I remember this, and I have to say this for perspective. I remember seeing a video of a very young Emmy Sunshine outside. You said this might have been a flea market. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a flea market. I was singing there one day because we had a gig that was canceled. They canceled on us, and we didn't have anywhere to play. And we have a friend there who runs this guitar shop. His name is Harley. And we wanted to just find somewhere to play and, you know, hang out for the day.
And it went crazy. I mean, the video went everywhere, and everybody wanted to know who's this phenomenal. Nobody knew who you were then. I mean, I guess
they
probably
didn't.
The people where you were, but all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Emmy Sunshine, and you've continued. Based on that, you've been countless times on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, about 14 times.
14 times. That's a lot.
I know.
And you're just now 14. You'll be 15 by the time this airs. You'll be 15 in June.
I'll be 15 in June.
So it's coming up. So you've been on there more times than people would ever dream you want to be on. And you've probably performed with a lot of different great artists coming and going from there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. When I first was on the Grand Ole Opry, yeah, actually, I was on the Ryman first. I was at the Ryman Auditorium, and I was there for Marty Stewart's Late Night Jam. And
Marty likes you.
He seems to. He's very, very nice, and I'm just so glad that I got to meet him and get to experience that whole thing that he does there and be a part of it, because I feel like that was a great experience for me to have, and you know, just to get to be in his presence for a little bit.
I've read what Marty says about you. And I know that Marty is, you know, in the bluegrass world, although this show covers bluegrass, it extends out different directions. You know, he comes from that tradition.
Oh, yeah.
And his ability to play, and of course, he became a huge country star, but his playing is still like he just stepped off of a bluegrass stage.
Yeah.
You've experienced that. He can play like he never left the crowd. You know, he's still with the bluegrass boys somewhere along the line. So you got to play with him, and you played with him more than once, right?
Yeah, more than once, I think, yeah. I think two times, maybe. Four times, yeah. We've done about four times, actually.
You have, with you today, you have a ukulele, which I know that you play a lot, and it's easy to carry around with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I may ask you to sing a song here.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
I don't want to impose on you.
You're fine.
I know that you're busy. I know you've been busy today. I appreciate you being available here today at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad that I got to do this.
We talked a little bit about the album from 2017. Are you working on something that'll we won't talk about when or where or how, but just so the people know that when they hear what you do, there's going to be a follow-up to 2017. That only makes sense to me without getting into specifics, right?
Yeah. I'm working on a new album right now with Tony Brown, and for those of you who do not know, he has produced many, many great names, like Lyle Lovett, and, you know, so on and so on, and he also used to play with Elvis, and he's a really, really cool dude.
Speaking of Elvis, there was a documentary called The King.
That's right, yeah. I met this guy named Eugene Jarecki, and he asked me, hey, do you want to be a part of this film that we're making? And, of course, I said, yeah.
Now, you were this was several years ago.
Yeah, this was several years ago, and we just hopped our way to Nashville, and we met this guy, and he was like, hey, we got Elvis Presley's Rolls Royce right here, and we want you guys to get in the back of this car and sing music for just, like, 3 or 4 hours, which turned into 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
And we were all just packed in tight, but we...
You can see on the video, this is true. Explain this, because
when
you see it, people might think it's staged, but tell
them
what
happened. It's not staged. Yeah. We are in the back of that car, just stuffed in tight to that car. It was excruciatingly painful to just sit back there for so long, but I do not regret it at all, because we got some feedback from them a few years later after we recorded, and after we filmed it, and he was like, hey, you know, this film is going to be at Cannes Film Festival, and I want you to come to France and, you know, be there for that.
Oh, my God.
And we got to be there, and he played a little show, and we had a lot of fun, and we got to see the film. But the only thing that was wrong with that was when we got there, we were so tired, and the time change just kind of mixed this up a little bit, too. So we took turns sleeping in between the documentary, so we would miss it all.
So at least somebody was awake at some point.
Yes, somebody was awake at some point. But it was a great experience, and my song Danny Ray was in that film too. So
literally, I want people to find the video of you all crammed in the back, and your band, by the way, is your family for the most, and even that was too, right?
Yeah, right. My uncle Bobby plays drums, my dad plays bass, and my brother plays mandolin. So it's a family affair.
And you're sitting in the back of this car. I did not know that it was Elvis, that it was a car that Elvis had been in, or was his car.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're back in the back of it, and there's a microphone.
Yep.
Right in the picture, and you say, here's what we're going to do, and then you start singing these songs, and that became part of the film.
It did.
That must have been a blast.
It was. You know, we just talked for hours and just had great conversations with him and his cast that he had there, too. I mean, it was a really interesting time. Man, it was unforgettable.
Did you ever think you were going to be in a documentary about Elvis Presley?
Well, yeah, I never really did. I mean, I really respect Elvis, and I love Elvis, but I never really was, like, fascinated with his music or anything like that. I mean, I just kind of was like, oh, yeah, Elvis is really cool. I don't really know a lot about him, but, I mean, I like his music. But I did not expect that at all, and when we did that, when we were in the backseat of that car, too, I mean, it was just so, it was such an odd feeling, you know, to see back there and everything, too.
You didn't have much room to play.
Oh, no. We did not. My dad's bass, he had like a little U-bass, and a U-bass is like a one that we get from Cala. It's a very tiny little ukulele bass.
Yeah.
And we were sitting back there, and he moved his bass over a little bit and got his bass stuck in my hair, and that was bad.
Is he here today?
Oh, yes. He's right over there.
He's waving. This is not a visual medium.
No.
But I will tell everyone, and that's your uncle. That's your uncle?
It's my dad.
Your dad. I'm sorry. I know your whole band is made up of family members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is kind of neat.
I feel like it is, too.
You're always going to have this protective cocoon around you. Because at 14, becoming 15, you are performing on stages and levels and areas that much more experienced performers might be, and you always have your family right there nearby.
That's what I'm very thankful for, is that I get to have my family along with me, because they keep me grounded, and they keep me thinking about, you know, like the reason that I'm doing this, and the reason that I absolutely love what I do, and you know, the reason my family is so important, I think, in this, is because, you know, you never want to get too far away from family when you're doing stuff like this, because I feel like it can take you on a path that just kind of ruins you.
You don't have to say anymore, but you're right in that you need someone to protect you as you become more and more popular. And you're going to be famous. You are already. I mean, I know you're going to smile and be blushing about that, but you need people around you to protect you from things that you're going to be exposed to. So that's all good. I'm happy.
Oh yeah. Well, family has been like a big part of this for a while. I mean, my great grandmother was a singer, my grandmother, and then uncles and cousins in between on my dad's side were, you know, singers and stuff too. My mom was a writer way before, so I just kind of grew up in it.
Do you? I want you, because you said you would, and I'm going to take you up on it. I want you to perform a song.
Okay.
And I don't care which one you do. It can be from Ragged Dream. It can be whatever. It'll be phenomenal, and I will love hearing it and see you do it. What I wanted to ask you this, and then I want you to do a song. What does Emmy Sunshine listen to when you're just like, I don't know, chilling out a little bit and just listen to what do you listen to? And I don't know what it's going to be at all. It may be country, maybe gospel, maybe bluegrass, maybe blues. You tell me.
Well, I mean, I listen to a lot of different music because as I have been growing up, my family has kind of been very eccentric with, you know, a lot of the stuff that they listen to. So it could go from
like... Dad, what's the eccentric part that you're into? He doesn't know.
Yes, he does.
Come here, I want to know how eccentric Dad is. Have a seat.
Probably talking more about her grandfather, my dad.
Well, you too.
Well, what do you consider eccentric about me?
Well...
Here's where it comes out.
I don't know. It's strange.
Well, my mom would introduce me to more of, like, bluegrass and to country and to a lot of gospel music like that. But my dad...
Maybe you mean eclectic.
Eclectic. Eclectic and eccentric, really.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So, like... What did you consider eccentric and eclectic for me? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that you.
You didn't know I was going to do this, did you?
No, I think you like a lot of stuff that you play in the car all the time is just like weirdest
Dan?
Stuff.
Okay. What's the weird stuff, Dan?
Weird stuff. I don't know. Aquabats.
Oh yeah.
That's weird.
Those of you don't know.
Yeah, Aquabats. They're kind of a kids band and. But
not really,
yeah.
No K-pop, though.
No. I was playing a lot of weird, like new wave stuff from the early 80s.
Okay.
And a lot of that kind of stuff. Depeche Mode.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be listening to, you know.
It's all good stuff.
We'll be listening to bluegrass and then kick over and listen to Depeche Mode for, you know, a couple
a little
songs.
While, too.
Yeah, Safety Dance, things like that.
Yeah,
he's... The Men Without Hats.
Men Without Hats, yeah.
We have a lot of fun with music, and I think that's one thing that I love about getting to sing and play is that there's no limits to it. I mean, you can find all types of different ways to sing and all types of different things that you love. I mean, I started listening to a lot of the Lubin Brothers when I was younger.
Sure.
And I loved their harmonies, but even more than that, I loved the Murder Ballads. And murder ballads are a big part of what I write.
I'm not surprised by that because I have this joke, this running joke with bluegrass performers, and I interview people other than bluegrass, but every album has to have one or two where somebody's killed.
Yeah.
It's just part of the genre.
It really is. I mean, I think that...
You know what this is leading up to? I'm going to ask you to sing the Tennessee Killing song.
I thought that was going to happen. But, I mean... I think that a lot of, like, murder ballads and story songs like that, I mean, story songs are where I really love to write. I mean, I love writing story songs and that lead people into this whole world of what, you know, I've come up with. And I feel like that's a very important part of writing because, you know, you can read a book and you can read any kind of novel that you want to, but I think a song, in some ways, is even more, you know, just it brings you into even more of a different world than anything ever could. I mean, that's pretty much how I view songs like that, yeah.
You want to give a shot at Tennessee Killing Song while we're sitting here?
Why not?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna write me a Tennessee Killing Song. It's gonna be about you. I'm gonna write me a Tennessee Killing Song. It's gonna be about you. off to Portland, you did run, dear. From our Tennessee home, in her arms, oh, I did find you. And now you'll never more roam. 'Cause I just wrote me a Tennessee killing song.
You guys can applaud.
We've drawn an audience here.
Yeah, that's a brand new
thing. Thank you.
I have to tell the people listening that as you got to the final part where it's all about you, your dad was pointing at you and you were pointing at him, so maybe you've been traveling too long.
Maybe.
If you're going to write a song about killing and about each of you.
That's the only thing bad about traveling with your family is that it's the only... the only thing bad about it is you do get a little bit tired of each other after a while, but we...
We do?
But
no one told me that.
No one told you that?
I didn't know.
Well, actions speak louder than words.
Oh,
right?
Wow, okay.
Some of those eccentric actions.
Oh, yes, those eccentric actions.
Well, yeah, like the taped up shoes, you know, instead of buying new shoes, you put duct tape on.
My grandfather likes to he loves to save money. And how he does that is whenever he needs a new pair of shoes, he doesn't get a new pair of shoes, he just tapes them up. With duct tape. So.
Yeah, pretty much it.
Yeah. I have to try it. It worked for him.
Walk into court like that sometime.
I will. I'll say Emmy's grandpa said I should do this. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing that. We can do another one before we're finished. I don't want to tax you too much. But I wouldn't mind doing another one. I go from the list from the Ragged Dreams album. And I wrote some notes from that, but I want to talk a little bit about that album was done in 17, I think, at least released in 17. Do you feel like you're singing, not necessarily your voice, but do you feel like your singing have you been informed by other music, whether it's the men without hats that your dad plays or anything else that's now that you express through your singing?
Well, I think that my voice hasn't really necessarily changed very much, but the way I sing has changed a lot over the years. When I first started singing, I didn't have much knowledge on, you know, how to sing. And I was taken to a vocal coach, and they helped me a lot. But after a while, you know, we were traveling so much, we didn't really have time to go to a vocal coach anymore until recently. And I noticed I was having a lot of trouble out of my voice for a while. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going on.
Trouble in that you weren't hitting notes or that you were actually having difficulty with your throat?
I was having difficulties with my throat and straining. And I didn't really know exactly why. So I went to a vocal coach, and she helped me so much. I mean, she taught me how to sing properly, something that I forgot over time, and really just kind of... saved me with my vocals. And, you know, because I where you sing is really, really important, because when you're singing from your throat, you can damage your vocal cords. When you're singing from your chest, it's a little bit better there. I mean, that's really just like the preferred way to sing. And that way that you don't hurt your vocal cords. And also, you know, drinking a lot of water is a very important thing too. Room temperature. And cutting out dairy was one thing that really helped me as well, because
So you learned a lot. You started out in this. You have, by the way, and I describe it as passion and energy in your voice. And that's why everybody here, all down the hall, heard you. It's not just loudness, though, but I want to make this distinction, Dad. Mm-hmm. You know what this is like. There is so much energy and passion and feeling in what you're singing that the volume is there, but it's more what I pick up from it is this. You're 100% into the lyric as you're singing it.
Well, yeah, when I write, I make sure that, you know, I really love what I'm singing, because in whatever you do, I mean, I think that you should enjoy it. I mean, I picked a job that I know I'm going to enjoy. I mean, I wouldn't want to be sitting at a desk for so long. And
thank you, because that's where I'm going back to.
I apologize. That's not for me, and it's whatever you enjoy. And I think that if you can have a career that is stable in some ways, that is stable, and, you know, you really enjoy it, I think that's the best way to live, because, you know, you only have so long, and it's very important to enjoy the time you have.
And the other thing, too, is that you can't buy this time back.
Exactly.
You can't do something that you don't want to do. This is dad advice. You tell her these things. You don't want to do something now that you don't want to do, thinking that you're going to get this time back, because this is now, and this is what you need to do now. And I think you've made a good choice from what I can hear and see. And you seem to be having a good time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you learn breath control when you took these?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That was a big part of the lessons, too, is breath control. And it was just itty-bitty things that just make a big difference in singing.
What's working?
yeah, pitch was always there.
Yeah, always.
But we felt that she was hurting her voice by maybe over-singing some when she was younger. And so that's her manager was like, you know, we can find somebody to help her with this. And Cherie did such an amazing job.
Well, the only problem was we were playing, not necessarily bars, but we were playing, like, little clubs that were so loud. And my automatic response was, oh, you're going to be loud, I'll be even louder. So it just made more sense.
I would like to hear one. You can pick whatever you want.
Okay.
I picked the killing song because we were talking about death.
Yeah.
Dreams or anything else that you want or something that you haven't recorded yet, it's really up to you. I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity to do this.
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow? Okay.
Scarecrow, right? You did with Fish Fisher, I think, is a great...
Yeah, I have a friend named Fish Fisher, and he absolutely loves murder ballads just as much as I do, and we get along very well because of that.
Okay.
And
two murder ballads too many?
No, it's not. It's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Kill all the people you want. I don't care.
Yay. Okay. So so this one came about was because Fish gave me this idea. He was like, hey, what if we wrote a song about a scarecrow? And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? But he kind of went into this whole story, this whole ballad that he had, and I was like, you know what? This would make a very good song. Let's write this. And we wrote this song, me, my mother, and Fish, and we finished it, and it turned out to be just this very gruesome murder ballad.
I can't wait for this.
It is strange.
The eccentric dad thinks this is strange, so yes, I can't wait for this. Scarecrow. Let me see.
Scarecrow. Whispers say that we ain't seen Clay at the bar or any church service. She spins her tales like a web on a wheel of an older man becoming a hermit. Can't you see him there now, so tall and so proud? Does he wave at you from the window? But a night in her bed, her fear and her dread tell the truth of the lies she has sown. Wedding bells and shotgun shells. She thought she found heaven, but he gave her hell. Now his body lies at the bottom of a well. Thou shalt not kill, she's a fallen angel. Scarecrow in the burlap and straw, her new love is strong as he looks through the glass and he guards her. Wedding bells and shotgun shells, she thought she found heaven, but he gave her hell. Now his body lies at the bottom of a well. Thou shalt not kill, she's a fallen angel.
Sunshine, that's Scarecrow.
You can applaud. You can applaud.
Oh, me?
Yeah, all of you can applaud.
Hey, oh, man, I can.
Thank you.
Josh can sing. This is a really good voice. I heard you from Austin. I came in.
I told you. They can hear you down north. This is Emmy Sunshine.
Hi.
I'm Raj. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
According
well.
To Rolling Stone, Emmy is one of the 10 country artists that you need to know. So now you know her. No, I don't know who the other 9 are, but Emmy's one of them.
So what is that? Is there some competition going on? Or
No. I'm interviewing Emmy for a radio show.
Radio show, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on the radio.
Now you're on the radio.
How come?
Because I'm recording everything.
Oh, okay. Good luck, Jamie, then.
Good to meet you, Ross.
Thank you. That was fantastic. It's okay that we invite other people in, isn't it?
Oh, it's cool.
They seem to appreciate what you're doing. I told you, they could hear you down the hall, and that guy said, I heard you down the hall. So there you go. Drink your water. I don't want to be responsible for your vocal cords.
Oh, you're fine.
Listen, I'm going to let you get back to what you... I know you got a show coming up. By the time this airs, you will have already played in Southgate, Kentucky.
Yep. Southgate House.
Southgate House
in Newport.
Yeah. Thank you, Fred. Yeah. And then by the time this airs, you're just so busy through the South.
We'll be somewhere.
I never know where we're going.
I just get in the bus and go. You just show up and do what you just did, which is phenomenal. There is so much I can't describe. I assume that audiences respond the same way, but I keep coming back to this word passion. Which doesn't mean loudness. It just means you totally believe in what you're singing, and if they're words that you wrote, then you know why you're doing it. But my goodness, this is just... And I'm sitting at a table with this incredible expressive voice and all these songs, and you're such a nice person. Your dad's a nice person
thank
for letting
you.
Me do this. But this is so remarkable.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've been told of... pretty loud over the years because when I was younger we would play shows. I was around 9 or 10, we played shows, and they just expected me to be very, very, just...
Well, sound takes are often...
They have to be
hard on guard. It's funny to watch them when
they're reaching for that gain, immediately, yeah. Especially if they're mixing on the fly, they're like, oh, wait a minute, this little girl really got a voice.
Yeah, yeah. They have to do a good sound check. You have to really belt them out for a sound check, or they'll never know what's coming.
Absolutely. I usually just do, like, either a yodel or a scat first, and then they just kind of sit down after that, yeah.
Cool. Emmy, I'm going to let you go. Emmy Sunshine, thanks so much to you and your father for allowing me to chat with you for Unreal Bluegrass. Absolute blast. I love your music. I can't wait for the stuff that you do down the road. I can't wait to watch your career.
Thank
it's just going to be fun. And maybe someday we can do this again if you're driving through town. We can find you.
Anytime.
We would love that.
We can talk to you all day, man.
All right. That's good. Nice to know. Listen, thank you so much, Emmy.
Thank you.
Sir, appreciate your time. I'll see you down the road.